Meeting of Senate Labor and Commerce to order. It is 2:03, and again, I apologize for me being late. Senator Menard and I were in another meeting of Senate Transportation, and but we snuck out, and here we are. And we'll be hearing two bills today. Senate Bill 34, Small Business Revolving Loan Fund, sponsors Senator Wilikowski et al. And Senator, if you'd like to come forward, but first I'd like to declare a possible conflict, and before we take action on this bill, I wish to declare that I may have a conflict of interest. My wife is an insurance agent, and this bill may or may not directly affect her business, but members of the committee and the public should know about her occupation. Senator Wilikowski. I'm sorry. My staffer, Dana Owen, would like to explain the CS. I forgot about the CS. Sorry, Senator. And I'd like to say that Senator Giesel, Senator Davis, Senator Passman, and Senator Menard are in attendance, and myself, Senator Egan's chair. Do we have to bring the CS before the committee first before you present it?
Either way, Mr. Chairman, you will need a motion to adopt the CS at some
point.
Senator
Passman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that we bring the CS for Senate Bill number 34. I have, it appears to be version I that is before us. I believe that's the appropriate one. So I move that we bring that before this committee.
Objection.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Dana Owen. I'm a staff to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. And subsequently, from the last meeting where we heard this bill, we took some. We were able to work with several of the interested parties, including Senator Wilikowski and his staff, to devise some new language that we think will satisfy the issues that were raised at the last hearing. I draw your attention to page 2 of the bill. Line 13 first. Senator Giesel had pointed out that there was the word grant missing from that line. It seemed to be a drafting oversight. It, in fact, was a drafting oversight, and so we've included that in this new draft. And on page 3 of the bill, we'll get to the more substantive changes that we've made. Again, excuse me, on line 16 of the bill, 16 through 21, we have been included what is known as a turndown provision. It was suggested at the last hearing that that perhaps we should give Alaska banks a better shot at business before somebody comes to the state to apply for a loan. And in discussions with the bankers and their lobbyists, and also with Senator Wilikowski's office, we determined that we would apply that to any loan that's in excess of $35,000. We had heard earlier some discussion about perhaps changing the caps on the loan. Neither our office nor Senator Wilikowski's felt that that was a good idea, but that the bankers might be happy with a turndown provision that started at $35,000. They, in fact, have indicated to us that they are happy with that provision, and I believe we'll hear some testimony to that effect later on. At the bottom of the page, starting on line 30, we spell out that, excuse me, that the financial institution that you must be turned down from in order to apply for a loan over $35,000 must be an Alaska institution. I also have to bring your attention to the memo attached to the draft CS by Terry Bannister, the drafter of the bill. Terry points out in her memo that there are potential conflicts with federal law, namely with the Commerce Clause and the Equal Protection Clauses of the Constitution. It's not unusual for us to see bills, of course, before this or any committee that raise some issues about potential conflicts of that sort And I just wanted to point that out to you before you take up take action on the bill. Beyond that, there are no other changes to the bill. We do have two revised fiscal notes. I notice that the revisions are not extensive, but I believe we have somebody here who will be able to answer any questions about that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Owen. Senator, would you like to say anything about the CS before we call on the state to Senator Wilkowski.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Bill Wilkowski. I'm state senator for Northeast Anchorage, and we support the changes. We worked very closely with your committee aide, Dana. Thank you very much. And I think it's a fair compromise. I think it's the main provision was page 3, line 16 through 21. And I think this is a very fair compromise. If I think many banks are sort of reluctant to engage in these smaller type of loans, so this will help the small businesses out there that can use these type of loans. Larger loans, it's probably a good idea for this sort of provision to give banks an opportunity to go ahead and provide the loan. So I wholeheartedly support the changes. I want to thank you again.
Okay, thank you, Senator Wilkowski. Questions for Senator Wilkowski? Thank you, Senator. And we have Juanetta Ayers back again to talk to us from DCED to explain the new fiscal notes. Ms. Ayers, thank you for coming back.
Thank you, Senator Egan, members of the committee. My name is Juanetta Ayers. I'm the director for the Division of Economic Development, and I'm available to answer any questions that you may have with regard to the fiscal note. I understand that there you have two separate fiscal notes, one for the operating costs and one for the capitalization of the fund.
Are there questions for Ms. Ayers? That was easy.
Thank you.
We have one individual signed up to testify here locally, and that's Craig Dahl, president of Alaska Pacific Bank. Mr. Dahl, you're coming over this afternoon.
Chairman Egan and members of the committee, my name is Craig Dahl. I'm president and chief executive officer of Alaska Pacific Bank, and I'm here this afternoon representing both our bank as well as the Alaska Bankers Association. I have reviewed the committee substitute for Senate Bill 34, and I would like to thank all of you on the committee and those others who have put the work into making the changes that were of concern to the association, which you've already noted as being the limit of $35,000 and the turndown provision. And so at this point, we certainly support the bill. I would like to take just a couple of minutes and just comment on how the Alaskan banks have consistently served the small business community, because I think there's been some perceptions out there. In addition to the direct lending that we do, all of the banks in one form or another have also participated with the various government programs that are available to us to try to find the best way to serve a small business borrower. SBA, USDA, ADA, and in the case of the Department of Rural Loan Program through the Department of Investment, and we try to find the best match of both guarantees or participation. As an example, our bank has received the SBA Community Lender of the Year for the fourth consecutive year, which we were just notified a few weeks ago about. And Wells Fargo, at the other end of the spectrum, has received the SBA Lender of the Year for two consecutive years. We do lots of little loans. They do big loans. But I want to comment on the availability of credit and the misinformation that we think can still persists out there. As we all know, when we went through the deepest part of the recession, every time you opened up a newspaper, banks were being pounded on for not making any loans. If you asked any community banker in the country, they would tell you it wasn't that they weren't making loans. There was nobody wanting to borrow any money. And in fact, depending on the market you operated in, there's virtually no loan demand or very, very little loan demand. Luckily, Alaska has not suffered near to the degree most other states have been. So just to answer, give you a quick perspective on that, we tried yesterday, we pulled some numbers together from several of the banks just to give you a sense of what we've been doing. And so Alaska, First National Bank Alaska, North Rim Bank, and ourselves provided some numbers of just loans under $100,000. Because I think, again, we are interested in the small loans. This was a concern to us. So in 2009, the three banks did 1,060 loans for a total of $34.1 million. Last year in 2010, we did 1,035 loans for $37.8 million. That doesn't count modifications, refinances. These are brand new business loans to small borrowers, $100,000 or less. Wells Fargo wanted to provide the information, but they're so complex that they just wanted the committee to know that in 2010, they measure everything by, what they refer to as solutions. And so they did 22,000 business solutions in 2010 within the state of Alaska. And, of course, they have such a wide range of products that could be any number of things. I think quickly, if all of the banks had reported their small business numbers, we probably would have seen something in excess of $75 million for the year 2010. So I think we can demonstrate that we're very active in the small loan market. The other thing I think it's important for the committee to understand is the liquidity, you know, the availability of funds to make loans. Almost across the country, many, many banks, probably the top number is having 20% of their balance sheet right now is in liquid form, as in cash. So the fact of the matter is, we want to make loans. There is no shortage of funding. So what we asked for in this situation was the opportunity to have a fair shot at the business. It's important to us. It's what we do. It's how we make our living. So I just simply would again like to thank the committee and the people that helped make these changes to Senate Bill 34. Thank you for your support, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Dahl. Questions for Mr. Dahl, Senator Pasquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, it's good to hear these numbers as far as 1,035 loans or 1,060. And, you know, what this is, as I understand what this bill is trying to focus upon, so to speak, new business customers, and of the 1,000-plus loans in those years, are those existing customers or new customers? You know, is this an existing business that comes in and says, I need $75,000? You know, is there a distinction there so that I can...
No, I don't think I'd be able to say that there's an exact distinction there. In fact, I think across the state you'd probably find that there was, especially in this last year specifically, not a lot of brand-new businesses starting up. But I think the point is, if someone came through the door with a business plan that was viable, we would look at it. And I think every bank in the state would do that.
Okay. Senator Bassett, other questions for Mr. Dahl? Craig, thank you very much for testifying
this
afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I have no one else signed up to testify on off-net or in the audience. Is there anyone else that wants to testify on Senate Bill 34? Seeing none, do I hear a motion?
I would move that we advance the CS for Senate Bill number 34 from this committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached two fiscal notes, I believe.
There are two. Seeing no opposition. We don't have to call the roll. We'll take a brief at ease.
Get her done.
Okay, reconvene the Labor and Commerce Committee at 2:18, and now we will take up Senate Bill 70, the Alaska Health Benefit Exchange. And because I read it out of sequence the previous time, I will read my disclaimer again. I have a declaration of a possible conflict. I wish to declare that I may have a conflict of interest. My wife is an insurance agent. This bill may or may not directly affect her business, but members of the committee and the public should know about her occupation. And now, Senate Bill 70, Senator French. Thank you for coming forward.
Thank you for scheduling the bill, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Hollis French. I represent West Anchorage in the State Senate. This is the first hearing on Senate Bill 70, so with your indulgence, I will read the sponsor's statement into the record. Competition improves quality, lowers cost, and gives consumers a meaningful choice. The Alaska Health Benefit Exchange will make private health insurance companies more responsive to healthcare consumers in Alaska. Buying health insurance can be difficult and complicated. This legislation helps consumers identify and enroll in a health insurance policy that will serve them well, regardless of what their future holds. The exchange will promote competition among plans by providing information to consumers on a level playing field. Today, individuals shopping for airline tickets can log on to the Internet and in minutes view competing itineraries sorted by route, schedule, carrier, and price. In the same way, the web-based portal created by this bill will allow health insurance consumers to compare carriers, cost sharing, benefit design, and premium costs of different plans, all in a matter of minutes. The legislation helps make health coverage affordable for Alaskans. The exchange will determine eligibility for health insurance tax credits, cost sharing assistance, and medical assistance programs like Medicaid. Through the Small Business Health Options Program, known as SHOP, the exchange will connect small businesses with tax incentives and an insurance pooling mechanism which can stabilize premiums and make coverage more affordable. Finally, the exchange establishes the mechanism to exempt people from the requirement to have health coverage if affordable insurance products aren't available. An exchange can open the door to innovative ways to help keep health care costs down. For years, the idea of buying and selling health insurance across state lines has been cited as a competitive response to small insurance pools. This legislation will ask the Exchange Board to consider interstate compacts, and if one makes sense for Alaskans, legislation can be proposed to make it happen. 49 other states are working towards the establishment of an exchange, and while other elements of health reform are controversial, the exchange idea is championed by governors of both parties, even by those who are suing the federal government to stop reform. State exchanges are good from a conservative standpoint because they involve consumer choice and markets, said former U.S. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, a Tennessee Republican, and he said this in an Associated Press article back in January 22nd of this year. Each state can develop the exchange that best meets the needs of their people. Finally, this legislation is Alaska's chance to create a health insurance exchange on our own terms. By 2014, the state is required to have a consumer-centered exchange that makes buying health insurance easier for individuals and small businesses. If we don't act now, the federal government will create and impose an exchange on us. Please join me in supporting an Alaska-based solution which puts Alaskans first. That's the sponsor statement. Mr. Chairman, the bill is actually a sort of a simple idea rolled up in an enormously complex federal health care reform bill. And the idea is to create a web-based health insurance exchange where consumers can go to find the plan that meets their needs. And they will be able to compare plans based on the level of premiums, the level of deductibles, the level of benefits offered, and let them make intelligent choices. The exchange will help them find out whether they may be qualified for Medicaid, or qualified for SCHIP, or what we call Denali Kid Care, and other government-run programs. It's probably impossible to discuss this bill without discussing the Affordable Care Act, the federal bill that made it possible. And while there is broad opposition to that bill, there's even broader bipartisan buy-in to this exchange idea. as you can see from the materials, both here in the sponsor statement and the backup we provided you. You know, the Florida governor, who is the lead plaintiff suing to stop the implementation of this federal health care bill, is also simultaneously using money to set up an exchange. Because in many, many ways, with or without the federal bill, this is the wave of the future for insurance reform in the 21st century, connecting people with insurance plans. It's going to happen whether the federal bill stands or falls, in my belief. And so I believe this is a good place, and I appreciate this committee, the Labor and Commerce Committee, taking up this issue, because it's exactly where many of the difficult choices need to get hashed out. But with that, I will turn to you for questions, and my staff, when you are ready, will give you a detailed sectional analysis.
Okay, thank you, Senator French, for your presentation, and welcome to Andy Medra of your staff. And if there are questions for either Senator French or staff, you're kidding me.
Nope. Just wait till he gets done with the sectional.
we do have folks signed up to testify.
Great.
Senator French, thank you very much.
Would you like the sectional now, Mr. Chairman, or later?
Go ahead and do it now.
Thank you. Mr. Motoro.
Thank you, Chair Egan and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Andy Motoro, and I'm staff to Senator French. And I'll just run through the bill. Feel free to stop me at any time if you have questions. Before we begin, I wanted the committee to be aware that the legislation is based on framework that was put out by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, who is intended to be a framework which states could build their own model based on. And so I just wanted you to know that that's where a lot of this, you know, introductory stuff came about. But beginning with the bill, Section 1 of the bill provides intent language, and it basically reiterates what Senator French said when he introduced the bill. I mean, fundamental to the aim of the legislation is connecting individuals and small businesses with health coverage that reduce the number of uninsured Alaskans. Section 2 of the legislation, starting on page 2, line 6, provides kind of the meat of the effort. And it's, you know, the first line on line 8 sets up the health benefit exchange as a public corporation of the state. This is much like the structure used by the Permanent Fund Corporation. Section 2154.210, this is on page 2, line 12, establishes the board which will oversee the exchange. It has 13 members. The Commissioner of Health and Social Services, or their designee, will be one. And there's also 12 stakeholders, each serving three-year terms. Language in this section is pretty traditional for boards and commissions, except that there is not a confirmation provision. Because this is being set up as a public corporation of the state, the legislature actually will not confirm members that are appointed by the governor. Ledge Legal advises that it's not an option that we have. So that establishes the board. The next section, 2154.220, begins on page 3, line 16. And this starts to outline the powers and duties of the health benefit exchange. A1 and A2 outline the primary duty, and that is to facilitate the purchase and sale of qualified health plans. We'll get into qualified health plans later on in this discussion. A3 and A13 both work on establishing the Small Business Health Options Program, also known as SHOP. Senator French spoke about it when he read the sponsor statement. And this connects employees of small businesses with health coverage in a new pool, should employees want to participate. In addition, I think the SHOP, one of the most crucial parts of this program is that the SHOP exchange connects up small businesses with tax benefits that can range from 25 to 50% of coverage cost should a small business want to set up a health coverage option for their employees on their own. Estimates by Families USA say that 81% of Alaska small businesses, those with less than 50 employees, would be eligible for these tax benefits. And that is another crucial function of the exchange. A4 provides for a telephone call center to assist individuals who need help enrolling in health plans. A5 establishes enrollment periods, and these are also known in health insurance talk as open seasons, which will be held annually to facilitate changing of plans. Open seasons are crucial to encourage competition while also preventing adverse selection. Adverse selection in the health insurance world is a term that describes the tendency of high-risk individuals to seek generous health benefits when they need them, while low-risk individuals seek high-deductible plans or no coverage at all, when they're healthy. And if an individual is free to switch plans at any time, nothing would stop them from going from a $5,000 deductible plan to a $500 deductible plan when they get sick. This legislation aims to balance that. By doing those switches annually, it allows for competition, but it reduces the chance that somebody would do that just on, you know, because they need health benefits paid for quickly. A6 provides for the creation of an internet marketplace, which Senator French discussed during the sponsor statement. A7 provides for the certification and decertification of qualified health plans sold through the exchange. And we'll get into what a qualified health plan is in the next section of the bill. A8 and A9 requires the exchange to compare the health plans on various metrics and quality and prices. This sets up kind of the criteria that the website-type portal will give to consumers when they are making their decisions. And I'm now on page 4, line 14. A10 requires the exchange to use standardized formats for presenting health options to consumers. A11 requires the exchange to determine potential eligibility for state or local medical assistance programs, such as Medicaid. And if someone is qualified, the exchange will assist in the enrollment process for that person. They'll work to get them connected up with benefits they qualify for. A12 establishes a tax credit calculator. Federal reform was accompanied with features that make the price of coverage affordable. This is so somebody can know what they're entitled to when they're looking at their health options. A14 requires that exchanges exempt Alaskans from the requirement to retain health insurance if certain criteria is met. Senator French did speak about this in the beginning. This is when if an individual cannot afford health coverage, they are exempt from the requirement to have that health coverage. The state-based exchange is the entity which does that. A15 relates to sharing information about individuals exempted from health insurance requirement and also interplay between employers and employees and their health coverage. I'm now on page 6, line 5. Notifies an employer when an employee receives premium assistance from the government, either because the employer doesn't offer a plan or because their plan doesn't meet minimum standards or is unaffordable to the employee. A17 states the exchange will assist consumers by determining eligibility for premium tax credits, reduced cost sharing, or exemptions from the insurance mandate. Now on to page 6, line 13. This sets up the navigators. And a navigator is an entity which trade groups can apply for, various organizations, to help with the enrollment process and kind of help the exchange fulfill its goal. And that's a crucial part of the bill. Page 7, line 3, requires the board to consider the rate of premium growth within and outside the exchange in an effort to evaluate the effect and benefit of incorporating larger employers within the small health options program that has been discussed before. At first, the participation in the SHOP program will be limited to employers with 50 or less employees, but we do have the option of expanding that in the future should we decide that that makes sense. A20 asks the board to consider policy that minimizes adverse selection within the exchange and also between plans sold inside the exchange and outside the exchange. And I'll take this moment just to mention that reform does not get rid of any of the current ways people buy coverage, either in the individual or small group markets. Those markets still exist today. The exchange is just a part of that whole effort. So to avoid adverse selection, we ask the board to look at that and let us know if anything's, you know, needs to be considered. Page 7, line 15, requires the exchange to consult with stakeholders and just get feedback. A23, 24, and 25, page 7, line 27, relate to accounting procedures and review of those audits. A26 allows a health insurer to offer a limited dental plan as part of a qualified health plan, so long as children's dental benefits are included. A27 discusses applying for grants to help establish exchanges. There have been grants of up to $1 million awarded to 49 states. I believe I provided you with a sectional that had that at 48. Since the time I've written the sectional, Minnesota has also applied for the grant. And so that's the current status on that. After these planning grants are complete, two levels of grants are then available for the costs associated with establishing an exchange. And those grants are going to start being awarded here pretty quick as well. Page 8, line 18, requires the Exchange Board to look into interstate compacts for the purposes Senator French mentioned during the introduction of the bill. We're now on to proposed subsection B1 of this bill, of this section, and that's on page 8, line 21. And that allows the Exchange to contract out some of the duties and responsibilities outlined in the legislation. B2 relates to sharing information. And B3 allows the Exchange to receive grants to finance operations if they're available. Page 9, line 3, prohibits certain expenses to keep the costs down to consumers. And subsection D ensures individuals won't be penalized if they change coverage because they're newly eligible for a form of coverage. That ensures of that. Okay, we're on now to proposed section 2154-230, and this relates to health plan certification. Page 9, line 14 for those following along. Subsection A outlines the requirements of a qualified health plan and the insurers offering such plans. A1 offers the insurer the option to include or not include adult dental benefits as long as there's some option available to people for dental benefits within the exchange. A2 requires premium rates and plan language to be approved by the Director of Insurance. Again, this is a continued responsibility of the division that does not go away under the exchange or health reform in general. A3 requires plans to meet certain quality guidelines in terms of actuarial values to a consumer. And page 10, line 3, sets out some cost-sharing and deductible assistance requirements that protect consumers. A5 and 6 require an insurer in the exchange to offer plans which meet certain quality metrics and that they charge the same rates for individual policies inside and outside the exchange. This makes it so they can't charge an extra $500 in one marketplace but not the other. A7 requires the exchange to determine that making the plan available through the exchange is in the interest of employers and individuals as well. Subsection B specifies some reasons why a plan cannot be denied the qualified plan status. C1 requires an insurer to justify any premium increase, and then this information will be shared with the public. And subsection C2 and C3 require insurers to provide the public with fiscal claim rating and enrollment data. We're on now to page 12, line 16. Again, this makes it clear that state insurance laws regarding solvency and licensing are still applicable to plans sold within the exchange. And subsection E relates to dental benefits under the law and the flexibility of insurers under that area. On now to 2154-240 on page 13, lines 8 through 15. This relates to exchange funding. After an exchange is established, the federal government will no longer provide funds for the operation. So this requires that an exchange stand up on its own 2 feet, sort of in one way. It can be through receipts from plans being sold in the exchange or else other techniques as well. 2154-250, page 13, lines 16 to 21, allow the exchange to adopt regulations. The next one, 260, on page 13, lines 22 to 28, requires insurers to honor state insurance laws as they are established. Then we're into the definitions from page 13 to 17, and that outlines some of the terms that have been used in this bill. And after that, 17, lines 7 through 9, add employees to the exchange of the list of the partially exempt service. Section 4 of the bill, page 18, defines the executive director of the exchange as a public official. This will subject them to some disclosure requirements which help the public keep confidence in any conflict of interest or anything else in the process. And Section 5 adds the Health Benefit Exchange Board to the list of state boards and commissions. 6 through 10 relate to effective dates. Essentially, everything would be effective by July 1st, 2012. The board would get a head start on crafting regulations for some of the aspects of the board, but they would not be implemented until that July 1st, 2012 date. And that's just a quick rundown of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Marrero, and Presenter Senator French. Questions for either the presenter or staff? Seeing none. Senator Giesel.
On page 2, thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 2, section 2, line 9, establishes the exchange as a public corporation. Why?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, that's a policy decision we made early on to set up the exchange outside, if you will, say the Division of Insurance or outside the Department of Health and Human Services, outside the Department of Administration, to emphasize the fact that it's more market-based than government-based. What's going to be offered inside the exchange are largely going to be private insurance policies, policies offered by Primera, Blue Shield, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and so forth. You will be able to find that you're eligible for Medicaid there or SCHIP, but the central marketplace is between consumers and private insurance policies, so we thought that it made more sense to set it up like the railroad rather than as a part of the Division of Insurance. It's purely a policy call up to you and the other members of the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further questions for the presenter or staff? Senator French, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And we do have other folks signed up to testify. First, from the Division of Public Assistance, Ron Quirer. Ron, are you online?
Senator Egan, this is Ron Quirer. Can you hear me all right?
I hear loud and clear. Welcome.
Excellent. For the record, my name is Ron Quirer. I'm Acting Director of the Division of Public Assistance, and I just wanted to offer the committee an opportunity to review and discuss the fiscal note that the division prepared for SB 70. We're operating under the assumption that we will be receiving information directly from the exchange that we will then use to issue benefits following the determination of eligibility by the exchange, and the enrollment process essentially would be the transfer of information that we would need in order to set up a Medicaid or an SCHIP case. And the fiscal note reflects
I apologize, but we don't have the fiscal note. The committee doesn't have the fiscal note, so it's really hard for you to explain the fiscal note with us not having a copy of it.
My apologies, sir. I'm flabbergasted. I'm in Denver right now, and I was obviously operating under the false assumption that the fiscal note had come across to you.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that'll be a problem because we're not moving it out today. Anyway, we're hearing it and holding it for the next meeting. It's a very complicated piece of legislation. But we do not have a fiscal note, so we're in the dark as to what you're telling us.
Well, my apologies.
But you're more than welcome to explain it if you'd like, and then we'll figure it out, I guess. Never mind, sorry. But Ron, again, we apologize to you, but we don't have a copy of the fiscal note.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it certainly isn't your place to apologize for not getting a fiscal note that my division prepared. I'll see that one gets to you as quickly as possible, and I will be back in Juneau shortly, and I can then have a discussion about the fiscal note in person.
Great. Thanks, Ron. And we plan on scheduling this very soon, so hopefully you'll be back in Juneau, and we'll be able to present it in person before the committee.
I will do that. Thank you very much for your indulgence.
Great. Thank you, Ron.
Chairman.
Senator Davis.
I would like for you to tell me why it was from your division that fiscal note was prepared.
Through the chair, Senator Davis, we prepared a fiscal note because the basic assumption is that the healthcare exchange, while determining eligibility for individuals who are using the exchange, that the actual determination and issuance of the Medicaid or Denali KidCare benefits would be through the existing structure that we have in place. And once the individual had their Medicaid or Denali KidCare case established, it would then continue to be maintained by the Division of Public Assistance. So essentially, the exchange would serve as a portal for individuals to receive program benefits that are administered by the Division of Public Assistance.
Was any of that done with the consultation from the Division of Insurance?
Through the chair, Senator Davis, could you please repeat the question? I didn't hear it.
Did you consult with the Division of Insurance as that was being prepared, or you strictly did it just under your division? It seems like...
Through the chair, Senator Davis, no, we did not have an opportunity to discuss this or consult with the Division of Insurance. We just made an assumption that we would be managing the DKC and Medicaid cases.
For sure you would be managing Medicaid cases, but there would be other consumers using that exchange also. And I just thought that the Division of Insurance would have some interest in that, or even from a financial standpoint. Is somebody here from the Division of Insurance?
Yes.
Are they going to testify?
Linda Hall, are you online? I do have Linda Hall signed up to...
I am here. They unmuted me now.
Great. Thank you very much. Director Hall, would you like to answer Senator Davis's question?
I would be happy to. Through the chair, Senator Davis, there has been a substantial amount of work on fiscal notes, and we're working jointly with the Department of Health and Social Services, Department of Administration, and DCCD specifically with my division. You don't have a fiscal note from us yet. As has been noted, this is a complex bill, and we have been in the process of reviewing numbers. It's challenging to put together numbers for something that doesn't yet exist. And so we are engaged in a multi-agency effort to make those numbers as accurate as possible. And we will have a fiscal note that I think represents a broader picture than the public assistance piece, but it's not ready yet. I apologize for that, but we're trying to take a little longer to make sure what we have is a better projection of costs and potential revenues.
Thank you. Could I go further?
Senator Davis.
Thank you very much. Linda, while you're on the line there,
yes.
We are the one state, the only state that has not accepted the federal money to set up an exchange. Is that not right?
Utah.
That's correct.
Is it too late to accept the money?
No, it is not.
It's still available.
It is still available. It's a short timeline, but it is available.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Davis. Thank you, Linda. Question from Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Linda, I have a question, and it's pertaining to the fiscal note, because it's my understanding, I thought that Utah was also a state that hasn't had this exchange program. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, that is correct. Okay. Massachusetts has an exchange. It's been operational for about 4 years. Utah's current exchange is only a few months old and is strictly for small businesses at this point.
Okay, so is your department in contact with them at all, since they have, there's certainly enough that are involved in this exchange that you should contact them and see what kind of fiscal note they put together to make this happen in their state?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, we are certainly in contact with a number of states. There's a significant amount of research being done, not only on these two operational exchanges, but there is legislation pending in a number of states, and we are looking at those fiscal notes. We are doing as much research, and have been before this bill was introduced, actually, looking at what's available that might benefit Alaskans. So we are certainly engaged in that type of activity.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Menard, anything further?
That's good.
Senator Pascavant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you in your analysis of this bill, do you believe that it will reduce the number of uninsured people in Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Pascavan, I don't know. I think, and you have all probably heard me say, that we have extremely high health care costs, which is the primary cost driver for our health insurance premiums. Competition can potentially impact that if there is competition in an exchange. But right now, I am not making any, I'm going to say, prejudgment that this will actually reduce the number of uninsureds by reducing the cost of health insurance.
Senator Pascavan. Is another way of, and I don't want to try to put words in your mouth, but this is a capitalistic approach to hopefully lower costs and then hopefully then lessen the number of uninsureds. Is that the overarching intent?
Through the chair, Senator Pascavan, I never thought about it that way, but probably Senator French would be better to answer that than me.
Thank you, Linda. Further questions, Senator Pascavan? Would you like to ask the sponsor that question? Senator French, can you come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hollis French. I think the short answer to Senator Pascavan, both of Senator Pascavan's questions are yes. It's designed to put more people under insurance plans. We know that if you go see a primary care doctor under an insurance plan instead of going to the emergency room, that tends to produce a healthier population and lower health care costs. That's point one. Point two is that this is simply offering private insurance, again, Aetna, Primera, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, to consumers through an exchange. That's the basic idea. So it preserves the insurance system as it is now. And if you think we have a capitalistic system, then you think this is also a capitalistic approach. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator French. Senator Pascavan.
Thank you.
Don't go yet.
Senator Davis for the sponsor.
Yeah, thanks. Since you were there, and I know you gave yes to his questions that he asked, and I agree that's probably is why you filed this bill. Also, I want to know if you would be opposed to extending this bill not to just cover the insurance carriers that we have within the state, but in neighboring states. Other states are doing it now.
Through the chair, Senator Davis, that's one of the aspects of the exchange is to look into in the short term for what you're describing is pooling.
Yes.
One of the constant complaints or the realities of living in Alaska is that you live with a small group of select people, wonderful people, Alaskan people, who have chosen to make this their home. But we are less than a million people, and we frequently wonder whether we would get lower rates by making larger pools by reaching across state lines. You know, but many of the public may not know, that regulation of insurance is largely a state matter. Each state regulates their own insurance plans unto themselves. It's not a national effort the way some subjects are. And so the idea of me as an Alaskan buying a health insurance policy offered in, say, Colorado or Montana or Utah or Florida, I cannot do. And if I were able to do it through a compact, you would want something like the exchange in place to educate me about what it is I'm buying, to compare it with plans that are available at home. So the exchange specifically makes provision for looking into whether pooling will work and getting that process started.
Thank you, Senator French. Senator Davis, further?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Senator Pascavan. I'm sorry, Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator French, a question about the composition of the exchange board. You alluded to the Interstate Commerce Compact that we might develop to enlarge our pool. And certainly the person that's most knowledgeable about insurance and all the aspects of it would be the director of the Division of Insurance, and yet that individual is not a member of the board. Why so?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, and I'll just say that if I thought Ms. Hall would accept a position there, I'd offer her one. But it's actually just in jest. I think she'd be a good addition, and should this committee decide to add the director of the Division of Insurance to the board, I'd welcome that. But I guess I would urge you to consult with her before you do that. Thank you.
Director Hall, do you have a comment on that?
Senator Egan, I'd like to defer responding.
That's what I thought. Okay, thank you very much, Linda. We do have other people signed up to testify. Thank you, Senator French. Pat Lubby, representing AARP. Pat, are you online?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Pat Luby, and I serve as the Advocacy Director for AARP in Alaska.
Thank you. Welcome.
AARP is in strong support of Senate Bill 70. Under the recently enacted Affordable Care Act by Congress, every state must have a health insurance exchange by January 2014. If a state does not establish its own health insurance exchange, the federal government will impose one on us. Exchanges work. It's the easiest way for an individual or small business to find adequate, affordable health coverage. Two-thirds of America's small businesses offered some form of health insurance for their employees, but often they had to rely on a broker who may or may not be knowledgeable about all the options that are out there. It's much easier to use a web-based exchange that is comprehensive and has all the options available. The web-based exchange also make it easier for individuals. You can compare costs, you can compare coverage, you can also find out, and this is very important, what types of subsidies might be available to an individual, whether they're tax breaks for the business or subsidies for the individual. We do this now in Medicare with the Part D program for prescription drugs. Anyone can go online, type in their medications, and find out what the best policies are for them and compare the cost for each. Senate Bill 70 will help all Alaskans find the best coverage at the lowest cost. It will be Alaskan-designed and not a model imposed by the federal government. We urge your support of Senate Bill 70. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Luby, and I apologize for mispronouncing your name at the outset. Questions for Mr. Luby? Okay, thank you very much for testifying. Next, Doris Robbins. We're going to try to get the testimony done before we adjourn here this afternoon. Doris, are you online?
Yes, I am. I hope you can hear me.
Loud and clear. Welcome. You must have had your phone
fixed.
You must have got your phone fixed.
Excuse me?
I said you must have finally got your phone fixed.
No, I'm using a cell phone and hoping it doesn't give out on me. But it will get fixed soon. I appreciate you allowing me to testify, and I'm hoping I can be heard through this. Support Senate Bill 70, the Alaska Health Benefit Exchange. I understand that this hearing is regarding whether Alaskans will have an opportunity to set up an exchange which would provide clear options and some competition for health coverage or expenditures. The exchange would make clear information available to all Alaskans of what their health care dollars buy. Currently, Alaskans are not sure what they're getting for their health dollars. The rules are murky, and you never know when an insurer will end coverage or an unexpected medical bill will put you in financial jeopardy. This legislation should shine a light on what you're paying for and set up options that will allow most Alaskans to know what they're getting up front without bait and switch. As we said, other states are already working on theirs. The exchange will act as a one-stop shop for choice-making. Choose what suits your pocketbook. In addition, stipulations should be laid out clearly to show what's acceptable by us of insurance companies who want to do business in our state, as well as eventually providing competition across state lines. There should be no hidden fees, and all the rules on display to indicate what your health expenditures are buying for you. In addition, while the governor turned down federal cash for setup costs, that was not earmarked money. The available federal money has been taken by 49 other states, some suing against, some accepting the new federal health law. With the cooperation of our governor, we can have the exchange startup cost without dipping into our general fund. This is Alaska's deal and not connected to the federal health care law. Do we act now to make changes or continue waiting in our present expensive health care muddy water? If we do nothing, the climate for paying for health care in Alaska will continue deteriorating as it slowly bankrupts us all, whether we currently have coverage or not. If we begin setting up our own standards, we will bring more possibilities for all businesses to provide economical coverage for their employees or allow individuals to get more for their independent health care dollars. So please take the first step by sending SB 70 on to the next committee, get the conversation rolling, and study it. Then it's up to all Alaskans to speak out for an improved climate for medical coverage in the state, because right now we have no competition and we're at the mercy of insurance companies. So that's it, and I appreciate your time. I'm at 1281 Overhill Drive in Fairbanks if you need that.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Robbins. Questions for Ms. Robbins?
I'm speaking on my own behalf, but I'm a public employee, retiree.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking the time to testify this afternoon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Doris. With the committee's permission, we have two more people signed up to testify. And with your permission, we'll complete the public testimony today, yeah, if that's okay with you folks, before we adjourn. Next to testify, Mark Reagan, Anchorage Disability Law Center. Mr. Reagan,
members of the committee, my name is Mark Reagan. I'm the legal director of the Disability Law Center of Alaska, which is the protection and advocacy organization for Alaskans with disabilities. I want to make three points in support of Senate Bill 70. First, the exchanges that would be set up would be things that would serve people with disabilities together with everybody else who needs individual health insurance or small group health insurance. They'd be treated on the same terms. The information would be available to them. It would be a good way to find your way through a difficult market, which is a limited one right now. It may make it possible for overall costs to come down. At least it makes it possible for people to see where the costs come from and what they are. That's a good thing. The second point I'd like to make is that there may be some reluctance on the part of some state officials, conceivably the governor, conceivably members of the legislature, to the idea of an exchange based on a misunderstanding of what it is an exchange would do. The exchange is not in the business of penalizing people for not having private health insurance. If there is penalizing going on, it's to be done by the federal government. You can look through the powers of the exchange as set out in the standard in the summary of the legislation, and what you'll see is the exchange is actually in the business of assisting people in establishing exemptions from the individual mandate, not enforcing the individual mandate against them. The enforcement of the individual mandate gets done by the federal government. It gets done by the IRS. It gets done by other parts of the federal government. The exchange doesn't do that. And so even if you are strongly opposed to an individual mandate, that is no particular reason not to set up an exchange in a particular state, including Alaska. As has been noted before, there are other states who are together with the state of Alaska in the litigation against the health care bill. Those states are accepting grants, working towards setting up exchanges. That is something that we can do, too. And even if you are strongly against even if you're strongly against the mandate, an exchange still be a good idea. Finally, looking ahead to what may happen when the court cases die down and Congress takes another couple of looks at health insurance overhauls, it seems likely to me that the same structure that is present now, which is that exchanges should be operating in every state and they can be operated by state government or they can be operated under federal standards by a federally authorized nonprofit, That system strikes me as one that will be likely operating 3 or 4 years from now when the exchanges go into effect, just as it does now. And so there really is likely to be a choice between Alaska operating its own exchange or operating an exchange together with a cooperative of other states, or the federal government operating the exchange in Alaska for Alaskans, but without the input of state government and people here. And if that's the situation, it strikes me that that's a fairly easy call for members of the legislature and hopefully for the governor's office, that this is a good idea and it would be a good idea for it to be operated by Alaskans. So those are the 3 points I'd like to make. There's written testimony before you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Reagan. Questions for Mr. Reagan? Seeing none, and the last person signed up to testify locally will be John George. John, welcome. You can state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John George. I'm here today representing Aflac, the duck company. And we actually don't have a duck in the fight. But there is a technical change that we would like to recommend. If you turn to page 13, under the exchange funding, it's to be funded by fees or assessments on health care insurers.
Now, that's, what line are we looking at?
Line 9, page 13.
Okay.
If you turn to the following page, under definitions, number 3 on line 3, health benefit plan, means what's referred to in 2154-500, except, and then it lists a whole lot of exceptions which may be considered to be health insurance. So what we would like to do is add on page 13, line 9, after the word insurers, adding the words offering health benefit plans. So it's specifically includes people that are participating in the exchange and not including all those accepted benefits.
Could you give us that one more time?
The wording, after the health care insurers, add offering health benefit plans, and they would continue or otherwise generate funding. And I just make sure that the people that are participating in the exchange are the ones that are funding the administrative costs ongoing.
Well, thank you, Mr. George. Questions for Mr. George?
Thank you, Mr. George. I just want to make sure even though workers' comp is not a health care insurer, it's a comp liability coverage, you're just wanting to make sure that those that are only insurers that are offering health benefit plans.
Right. Well, if you look at some of them, automobile medical payment insurance, is that health insurance? Disability income, is that health insurance? Well, under the definition of insurance in the code, some of those are health insurance, although they're not specifically the kind that the exchange is covering.
The distinction between a plan and something that may provide coverage for expenses is a way to, like a med coverage pay under your motor vehicle liability.
Right.
Got it. For the question, Senator Pascan.
No more.
Great. Thank you. Further questions for Mr. George? Great. That completes public testimony. And Senator French, thank you very much for taking the time to present your bill today. And it will be held over, and we'll be taking it up again. And hopefully won't be making any major refinements. Senator Bernard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just have a question for Senator French. I'm just wondering, since in another life, I was very involved with the Alaska State Dental Society as well as the Alaska Medical Society. Have you weighed in with them at all? This is an 18-page bill, and I'm just wondering if that has been something that you undertook.
Through the chair, Senator Menard, we've sent the bill out far and wide. A lot of people are still looking at it, 4 million in responses, but it's absolutely on our agenda to have them analyze it and get their ideas.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bernard. As long as the senator's up here, further questions for Senator French?
No, I just have
Senator Diesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a comment. I wondered if we could hear from a couple of the large insurers in Alaska, for example, Primera and Aetna. Could we ask them to come and comment?
Would it pleasure the committee? Would you like to invite a couple of the major carriers to offer?
The one I did, you know, Wells Fargo now is the state has chosen Wells Fargo for our coverage, so that would be an interesting one for me.
Okay, with the, pleasure of the committee, our staff will contact at least two major insurers and have them comment on the legislation. Senator French, do you have
I welcome that
issue?
I welcome.
Great.
Yeah.
Great, and we'll be taking it up again. And thank you very much for the presentation. It's a long bill, but and complicated, but we're making progress. Thank you again, Senator.
Yeah, thank you.
You don't have to invite him. And
see nothing else to come before the committee. It's adjourned at, I can't read that clock, 3:10.